Les colloques du Collège de France.
Thank you so much for.
Sorry, can we?
Should I?
It's okay.
Okay. Not Kara, but Isabella. Thank you so much for including this paper on the schedule. This is joint work with Ingrid and Francis from LMU and Jose also from LSE. Let's take it away. In this room, I don't need to remind you, but still to frame ideas, most innovation occurs within firms, typically superstar firms. So for instance, as measured by share of R&D spending. And as you know, these large firms are very complex organizations. You add to that the fact that innovation itself is a special task. It involves having technical knowledge that is sophisticated enough to push the frontier. There's a lot of uncertainty on whether an idea will fall flat or actually be transformational. And you have a delayed feedback cycle. Sometimes that's hard to navigate when you start thinking about organizations, incentives, etc., rewards. We will start from the premise, and also we will, which is, has been shown anecdotally, but also we will bring evidence to bear that middle managers are crucial for the innovation process in these complex organizations. So here, just an anecdote to build on Gary Starkweather. He comes one morning with the idea, why don't we just print out something directly? So this is sort of the precursor idea to the laser printer. He goes to his boss, his direct supervisor, who thinks that this is the most brain-dead idea that he has ever heard. And he basically threatens Gary to abort the idea or get fired. Basically he lacked the technical knowledge, the intuition of how transformative this idea was, and prevented the idea from happening in a prompt way. Of course, later down the line it occurred, as we all know, but at the time it was heavily delayed by a manager who was not helpful. So there's two ways to think about managers. On the one hand, you could think of them as crucial for monitoring mainly. So you want a manager to be there making sure that you're not playing Tetris, but actually producing for the firm. On the other hand, you might have sort of the in mind the idea of the Apollo 13 failure, the chaos that ensued, and how critical the flight director was. He basically had the technical knowledge to steer a very sensitive task to coordinate everyone towards saving the Apollo 13 team. And if he would have just been someone able to monitor and not also to have this like technical expertise, maybe the Apollo 13 crew would not have been saved. So quickly, what is this paper about? It's asking what is the role of managers, middle managers, to affect worker innovation. The setting is one of a particular firm, which shall remain unnamed, that is one of Europe's largest multinationals. It has over 200,000 workers worldwide. For this particular firm, we observe two complementary types of data, one which tracks inventions from the invention disclosure all the way to whether that particular invention was used in commercialized products of that firm. And we merge that with the detailed information about how that firm is organized, so personnel records, the organizational structure, 360 degrees evaluations. The empirical strategy is one that is familiar to the personnel literature. We're going to use managerial switches across teams within this large firm. And the idea there is to hope that we have a setting in which managers are rotated because of the natural career path of managers and not targeted to specific teams that are about to innovate. And the punchlines, in case I don't get to the end of the presentation, invention experienced managers are critical to unlocking innovation potential for their teams. They more than double the workers' patented inventions within 4 years of arriving to that team. So they're really important for across the all the way from invention disclosures all the way to commercialized output, so across the entire supply chain of ideas. We show that invention experience of the manager is uniquely predictive for this success of their teams, above and beyond other manager characteristics that you might think of, such as having a PhD. Actually, having a PhD has a negative effect. And what we show as a key channel is that managers increase workers' ability to innovate, both by transmitting knowledge that is relevant for that new innovation, and also by fostering innovation-friendly climate. So very quickly, it's a very long literature, two very long literatures. One thinking about the critical role played by middle managers for worker outcomes. We're going to focus on a high stakes output of teams, namely innovation, and we're going to document mechanisms. And of course, given the room, you know, the long literature on the drivers of innovation, where we're going to come in is by shedding new light on the black box of innovation within a complex organization. Namely, we're going to shed light on the role of middle managers. So quickly on the firm, very large, present in over 50 countries, headquarters in Germany. It's similar to other superstar manufacturing multinationals. So in that sense, that's sort of the class of firms for which we think it is representative. And among them, it's a top innovator, depending on whether you think about.
So I don't want to delay. Mm-hmm. Will you distinguish between radical and non-radical innovations? You might think that very radical innovations mm-hmm. require spin-off. You know, you also had Rebecca Henderson talking about, you know, the architectural barrier to innovation, yes. The, you know, the McDonnell Douglas Boeing story or whatever. So is there anything to that, you know?
So we haven't made it's an important point, we haven't made a separation between radical and non-radical, building on how to define radical or not. But we do see that these new patents that are fostered by these good type managers are more cited, so in that sense they have a higher quality. And also we see that these managers are steering these new teams towards the fields in which they have experience, allowing them to sort of diversify what they were purposely working on, but we haven't done radical or not separately. Yes.
So your data will come from one firm.
One firm.
Right?
Yes.
So is it from an industry where Germany is losing ground? So it's a good example or a bad example? So
I think this is a firm that we can look up to in terms of their practices.
It's not car manufacturing.
I will not say more. Okay, so we will focus for the purposes of today on white-collar employees in Germany, because for Germany we also observe bonuses, labor earnings, etc., which are harder to observe for workers in the worldwide workforce of the firm.
I think this is an important point, because Germany, you know, Europe, and especially Germany, is not known to be super innovative. And there's a huge discussion on why it's falling behind in terms of innovation.
Sure.
So that's why, you know, where does this company fall in terms of the innovativeness distribution globally is at least the minimum you can tell us.
Yeah, it's a top innovator.
Does top innovator mean? Patent per capita, for instance.
Okay, I can go to the to this. So here I'm comparing our firm with other manufacturing multinationals or multinationals from the EU or top firms in manufacturing in the world. And we compare them across R&D expenditure or in terms of millions or share of sales. And this is a firm that stands out as a top innovator. I am happy to make the case for this firm further offline, if you don't mind.
I'm just trying to help because, you know, normally, you know, patent per person is the minimum we can show, and there's a massive...
Okay, I'm happy to also bring it there because we can do patent per person, yes. Okay. So very quickly on the process of innovation, it has a part that is top-down in the sense that corporate management is the one that sets strategic and technological priorities, but it also has an important bottom-up part, namely that workers who are directly working together with clients on projects are encouraged to come up with ideas on how to improve those products, and their middle managers are the ones who directly supervise these workers. And for these engineers employed by this firm, innovation is a key responsibility. So you should not think of this that this is something that they do in their fringe time on Friday afternoon, but this is something that they're encouraged to do. And we have also conducted a survey through IFO of 1,700 German firms that also highlights that the way that this multinational headquartered in Germany handles the innovation process is similar to how other large firms headquartered in Germany handle it as well. So again, speaking to the representativeness. I will speak about invention disclosures, so I just want to quickly define what that is. So an invention is a novel solution to a specific problem that could be patentable. So we're not going to talk here about process innovation. We're going to talk mostly about ideas that couldn't be patented. We're going to talk about inventions that are potentially patentable. That's the universe that we're capturing. And there's a law in Germany that makes it compulsory for workers in Germany to promptly disclose any invention that they come up with during work time obtained using firm resources. And this is what allows us to observe through the internal system of this firm all the disclosures that have been filed by all of its workers, that lists all the characteristics of the proposed invention, all the co-inventors, etc. And compliance is high. We've talked to workers, managers, patent officers, both within our firm and in other firms, and this is taken very seriously. And importantly, for the results that I will show you, supervisors are added on an invention disclosure and afterwards on a patent only if they've made a substantive contribution. So it's not just because this is your team or your R&D lab that your name will be on that invention disclosure. So quickly on the data, as I was saying, we observed the universe of inventions at the firm, the invention disclosures, whether they chose or not to patent the file, to file a patent, the characteristics of the patent, whether it was granted or not, citations, what are the IPC codes of those patents, and also whether that patent was used afterwards in a commercialized product. And we combine that with personnel records, very, very detailed information about all the workers in this firm, their characteristics, and also their rewards. The organizational structure, so who works with whom at a point in time, and also, which is going to be very important for the mechanisms part, the performance evaluations of workers and managers, which will give us further nuance on why exactly these managers, high-type managers, are helpful for the innovation of their teams. So very quickly on the process, the ideas that qualify as inventions need to have an invention disclosure. We have 43,000 of them in our sample. About 58% of them are chosen to be used for a patent application. 30% afterwards end up having a patent granted, and only a small share of them are actually used for commercialization, the rest being on the defensive side. So what do we... Yes?
Are these worse than average ideas, or is 50% rejection the norm?
I don't have, my understanding is that it's the norm, but I should have here a link to the survey that we've done with the other firms so that so that you have the comparable number in case. I mean, many of them are not patentable or not worthwhile patenting. So then those ideas are released back to the worker, and if the worker himself or herself wants to patent, they have that choice. Okay, so quickly on the innovation of the firm, some stylized facts. As we know, it's a delayed and noisy feedback process. So between the moment you have an idea and you put forward an invention disclosure to the moment you have a patent potentially granted, it's about 6 years on average. It's an expertise-driven process. So 89% of invention disclosures come from a worker in engineering. And of course, as always, there are superstar engineers, superstar inventors. It's a tacit team-based knowledge that is being produced. The average team has 2.5 co-inventors, and they include repeat collaborators. And this is a setting where, again, for managers, it's crucial to have the necessary expertise to guide these teams. So managers actively co-invent. 50% of disclosures list the manager as co-inventor. Okay, so let me build a case on why in these industries that are that put forward sophisticated, technologically sophisticated goods, technical experience of managers is key. So here is these are some quotes from Steve Jobs, who started by saying, well, we first hired a bunch of professional managers and it simply couldn't work because managers were not feeling as if they were heard. These professional managers have had no clue about how to prioritize projects and how to allocate workers' time towards projects of different values. So basically, they had to scrap with that and focus on managers with the necessary technical expertise. So the way that our baseline measure of the type is a continuous one, and it's the own invention experience of the manager. And we have two measures, one that is at the firm, and you might be concerned that that's mismeasured if managers change firms a lot. In Germany, there's not as much firm turnover as in other countries, but still you might be concerned that we're mismeasuring that, so we're using auxiliary data sets to have the entire patenting history of managers prior to a move. And of course, this connects to recent work on inventor CEOs. This is just one paper that we're citing and captures this idea that you need this technical experience and not just formal seniority or have a PhD or not. So what are we doing? The ideal experiment that we would have is to randomly assign managers to workers. Of course, that's not how it works in firms. What we're going to exploit is the fact that as part of the natural career progression of managers, periodically they need to switch teams across business units, across functional areas, in order to build expertise and also to diffuse the knowledge of the firm. And given time, I won't be able to show you all the robustness checks, but of course, we need to be concerned about the matching to teams about to innovate, so on and so forth. So quickly, the regression design. On the left-hand side, we have some outcome at the worker level. Given that these are lumpy measures that we're going to use. It's not that every year that you have many invention disclosures or patent applications. For that reason, we're going to use four-quarter rolling sums. And the experiment that you should think of is you're a worker who is experiencing a jump in in the invention experience of your manager from, let's say, a low experience to a high experience. So, and then the question is, what happens to your invention and innovation output as a worker? And I'm going to skip all the concerns, of course, sorting on past performance, future potential, confounding shocks. These are things that we need to be very concerned about and happy to talk about it offline. So what do we find? So here the outcome variable is invention disclosures that have later been granted a patent. And what we observe is that if you are a worker experiencing a larger increase in the invention experience of your manager, you're significantly more likely to have such patented inventions 4 years after. So I'm skipping sort of the details of the of the magnitude, but it's a more than doubling of your output relative to to the mean pre-treatment. So it's a really large effect. That you could think of our high quality inventions. Maybe you think, okay, but what about the quantity of invention disclosures? We also find an increase in the overall number of invention disclosures, but it's less large than the one for patented invention disclosures. So for us, it tells us that it's not necessarily about like a reporting effect, that you just report more ideas, but it's something about the quality of the ideas that are being produced. Now, the question is, already working towards the mechanisms, is what exactly is going on? What we're separating here, we're separating co-inventions where the manager himself or herself is part of the inventing team versus inventions where the whole team, even if it's a team, does not contain the manager. And we are separating here between patented inventions or overall inventions. And what we see is in an immediate effect on the overall number of inventions and patented inventions, that is consistent with this idea that you have this hands-on collaboration, you immediately start thinking about ideas and bringing them to fruition. The manager has a lot of experience that he or she can pass on, both on the technical part but also on the procedural part. What about disclosures and patents without the manager? We see that in the short run, if anything, there's a fall. Because workers are focusing on these co-authored, co-invented ideas. So they sort of put a pause on their separate projects. But consistent with the idea that there is knowledge being passed on to these workers, we see that 3-4 years down the line, they also start improving their own innovative output that reflects this knowledge being passed on. And this improvement in the innovation output of these workers is across the entire chain, from the invention disclosures all the way to patented inventions, citations, and the commercialization of innovations. So you might say, well, is it really about invention experience, or is it something else? Is it whether this person is a man or not, whether this person is executive or not, whether this person has experience with large teams before? And what we find is that the innovation experience of these workers is uniquely predictive of their impact on the innovation of their teams. There is a separate effect of tenure. But once you control for, so basically tenure, because it's correlated with the invention experience, that's why it comes off as predictive. But actually, when you control for tenure becomes irrelevant. So it's really the invention experience of the worker that matters. Now, in the last couple of minutes before wrapping up, what is happening? So our main interpretation is that these experienced managers are able to raise the ability of workers to innovate, both through knowledge transmission, and this is what we've shown in terms of the co-invention patterns that kick in right away, the fact that the effects are strong, and then afterwards, the independent, a couple of years after, once the workers have learned how the sausage is made, they're also able themselves to invent more. There's a complementarity with the ability to innovate of the workers. So we find that the effects are stronger for workers with prior inventive experience. And I'm also going to show you maybe briefly that the effects are concentrated in the manager's domain of expertise. So again, pointing to this idea that they have this vision, this technical knowledge, and they're able to impart that on their new team.
So yeah. You just had inventor or non-inventor? Does it matter how much experience you have?
So here is that answer. I hope. So here we're separating the workers themselves on their own invention history and those who are more susceptible to benefiting from these high inventive activity managers are the ones that had a high experience prior.
Okay. a mental side of the managers? Is it the case that you get more out of the manager with lots of patents, or is it?
Yes. So the effects are nonlinear. They're really driven by superstar managers. I haven't had the time to show, but it's really the superstar managers that are driving this. Okay. Quickly, because I think I have only 1 or 2 minutes left. So here, what we're looking at is the output of the workers. Here we're looking at, again, the patented inventions, and we're separating them between whether this new output is in an IPC class that is close to what they were producing before versus far from what they were producing in before. And what we are showing is that the class that is benefiting the most, so you are more productive in terms of coming up with more innovative ideas that are patented along the lines of the experience of your new manager. So if your new manager is producing, has produced ideas in a space that is close to your past space, then those are the invented patents that increase the most. If your new manager is farther away from what you used to patent in, now your output is bigger in this new direction, which is the direction of the new manager that you are getting. On the climate, on the innovation climate here, we're leveraging the 360 ratings of the managers. And we have them from various angles. We have them from themselves, the self ratings. We have the ones coming from the managers of the managers, or the workers who are evaluating their managers. And they all agree that these high inventive experienced workers, managers, they are also able to inspire curiosity, challenge current thinking, support experimentation, and secure time and resources to develop ideas. And there are a number of alternative channels about selection of workers or retaining workers, inducing effort in a general way for workers, task allocation, or managers connecting workers across units of the firm, and we are bringing evidence not supporting these alternative channels. So we really think it's about, a part of it is knowledge transmission, and part of it is the innovation climate. I'm out of time, so thank you for your attention.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.